Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Celebrating the return of the fans, GoPSURV.com has a real special offer just for our Keystone Kickoff listeners. Go to our app, and you can register to win a free RV for the first home game of the year. If you don't have the app, simply go to your app store and download Keystone Sports. You must register for the free RV by August 13th. I think that's Friday, Dustin. And we are going to announce the winner next week. Dustin, you and I are going to announce the winner of the RV. So for more info, go to GoPSURV.com or you could call Mark at 800-519-8467. I am Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. It's quarter number one of our show. And Dustin, we're all about the start of camp. And the team and the coaches meeting with the media over the weekend. A lot of news came out of it, didn't it?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of storylines. And I know how this process works. And I think over the next week or two, we're also going to see a lot of stuff that came from Saturday, interviews from Saturday. And the media day, I'm not sure how fans feel about it exactly, but it is a huge. It's one of my favorite events that I cover, because usually when you're talking with Penn State football coaches and you're talking with the players in particular, the coaches still did the press conference thing, but usually it's such a controlled environment. In this case, everybody's out on the field. You go around to whoever you want, get whatever you want, ask silly questions, ask serious questions, or whatever you want to do. So it's a lot of fun to gather quotes and intelligence and try to figure out what guys have done since the end of the spring to now. So I think we're just starting to see the very beginning of all these headlines come out, and it is officially camp season. So that's the number one thing, I think. It's officially camp season. Football is just around the corner.
The media asking a silly question. Huh. Who would have thought, Dustin? Anyway, let's
yeah, really.
Let's start with the headline of the weekend. Something we had been hearing rumors about. We touched on it a bit last week. I did with Andrew P. Shea. But Adisa Isaac is going to be out for the majority of this season, if not the whole season. That really changes things at defensive end, does it not?
Yeah, and I think the good thing is, yeah, obviously there's not a lot of good that comes out of this, but it seems to have happened early enough in the offseason that the coaching staff was able to get together and really be thoughtful about a plan on how to move forward. But the bottom line for me is that now you are talking about Penn State losing all four of its top four defensive ends from last year. And I think there's, some strategy and there's some shuffling of pieces, and we'll get into what all Penn State is doing, either indirectly or directly in response to this news. But the bottom line is the bottom line, and there's going to be all new parts at that defensive end rotation. And there's time to prepare for that, but there's really no way of saying how that's all going to work out. And I don't think you can make a very viable case that this group will be as good as it was last year unless there's some absolutely phenomenal coaching involved, which that's not the, John Scott Jr. very well could get that done. And there's also going to have to be an unexpected guy or two who makes a huge contribution. So this defensive end rotation, I don't think it's thin on bodies per se, but it's certainly thin on experience, and it's thin on maybe a little known upside as part of this. Adisa Isaac was in that sweet spot of having a lot of upside left, but also still having gotten enough snaps and experience that you can bank on him kind of breaking out. I'm not sure if there's anybody you can really circle and say that guy is definitely going to break out. So there's, needless to say, there are some things to sort out here.
They do need someone among the youngsters to step up, or multiple guys. I believe that the guy with the highest floor is Ibukidi. He's got starting experience coming in from Temple. He's the upperclassman. I suspect he's going to have to be the rock of the position.
And it's tough to count on a transfer guy to be the rock of the position. I wasn't sure if Adisa Isaac could really, without a doubt, be counted on to be the rock of the position. You know, ideally, you'd have somebody with some legit starting experience there. Ibikiti does have starting experience from Temple. He does, from everything that everyone has said since he's gotten to Penn State in January, is that physically he meets the grade of being at this level, of making that jump. So I think there's a lot of good reason to expect and hope and believe that Ibikiti can be a real force there. But as of right now, that is not a luxury for this position. That is a need for this position. And I think ideally, obviously, Penn State's coaching staff wouldn't be in that spot where they need the new guy to play that role. But he does look like, you know, as prepared as you can get for that job.
There's a few other names that are being talked about. Nick Tarburton, Zariah Fisher. But a name that James Franklin brought up at the press conference was Amin Vanover. Let's take a listen to what James Franklin had to say about him.
Amin Vanover is a guy that we look as a swing guy that can play defensive end, which he did all last year, or D tackle. You know, he's got the size and the growth potential to play inside, but he's also got the quickness and the understanding and the scheme at defensive end, and what we're asking those guys to do.
All right, Dustin, read the tea leaves, read between the lines. What's James Franklin telling us about Amin Vanover?
I do believe Brent Pry offered some clarification on exactly what Vanover's role would be. He was more definitive, I believe. I'll have to go back and check the transcript again, that he said Vanover was working at defensive end again. But you're talking about a guy who's long and strong enough and can kind of bring the quickness and have the strength to play inside or outside. They've tinkered with him a bit. The length is a premium kind of thing with him. He is a very good, long, strong football player. I think he was on the books with an Alabama offer because they are looking for exactly what he brings to the table. So I think he's a guy who's capable of doing it. It looks like he's going to spend time at end, but it does speak to, and we'll get to this later in the show, just how the viewpoint of versatility and the viewpoint of having options with players. I think they've had the option with Amin Vanover since he got there, and I think he's capable of playing both, as James Franklin just alluded to, but I think the need will push him to defensive end. It'll be interesting to see. He's one of that handful of guys. You mentioned Zariah Fisher as well. He's one of that handful of guys that you're thinking and banking on needing on one or two of them to round out this rotation.
Another guy who fits that description of long and athletic is Smith Vilbert. And one of these days, we are going to get it down, his name. It's Smith first name, Vilbert last name, not the other way around. And Brent Pry had a few interesting things to say about him. Let's take a listen.
And then the guy that I'm probably most excited about for camp, which just made great strides between the spring, especially this summer with Coach Galt and his staff, is Smith Vilbert. Smith has some similar qualities to Etor Gross-Matos. You know, basketball background, very athletic, very good size. And Smith's finally turning the corner. And really, he's a football player for the first time and not a basketball player playing football. So he's got tremendous size, tremendous length. Athletic. When I watched Smith Vilbert play basketball in high school, I mean, you talk about me and Spence coming out of a gymnasium excited. We couldn't get over the way he could move and transition at that size. So excited about what Smith can do this camp and put himself in position to be a productive end for us this fall.
Dustin, I really like when you have the bigger players who played basketball and showed that athleticism there. I think that does translate very well to the football field.
Absolutely, especially when you're talking about a guy who's 6'6" in the whereabouts of that with Smith Vilbert. And I know that James Franklin and the Penn State program put out a highlight clip of this of this current class that's arriving, the 21 class that's on campus now, with all their different basketball cutups. It's something that they take it seriously, and I think they recognize that ability, especially in a defensive end, to be able to move and jump and have that length. If you can be a good basketball player at 6'6", it bodes well for you as a defensive end as well. I think the coaching staff in general on Saturday was trying to be a little bit measured, a little bit reserved, and try not to build one guy up too much or try not to leave anybody out when it comes to who I'm excited about. That's the type of question that they were fielding again and again. So for Brent Pry, I mean, this seems like a legitimate thing. And you know, he alluded to just needing a little bit of time to become a full-time football player and not just a basketball player who's playing football. So I think that's an exciting development. He goes right into that, you know, that group of guys who Penn State needs a couple of them to emerge. And it sure sounds like Smith Vilbert is starting to emerge. I don't really put as much stock, and I'm not going to, you know, have my jaw drop because he compared him to Yetur Gross-Matos. I took that more as, you know, looking at body type and length and those type of things. I think Yetur Gross-Matos was a very special player here for his instinct and his ability just to kind of uncanny get into the backfield. Smith Vilbert's got a lot to do to live up to that. But in terms of, you know, being a thick, long athlete, I think that's what Brent Pry was alluding to, and he's made progress in the weight room. He'll be a really interesting guy to watch, but it sure sounds like he is directly in that conversation here, that you could look at him as being one of that select group that could be that, you know, the three, the four in that defensive end rotation.
While we're talking defensive end, let's get in one more quote from James Franklin about Jesse Luketa and the chance of him playing some at defensive end.
And then I think there's some things that we can do with packages to take advantage of that, where people aren't sure whether he's playing a linebacker in our scheme or a defensive end, and how they're going to account for him in the running game or how they're going to account for him in pass protection. So there's a number of reasons, you know, that we're doing it. One, to gain an advantage through a guy that's got a unique skill set, and also to help us with some depth.
As a linebacker, sometimes he appeared lost. It appears he may have a better skill set for defensive end, Dusty.
I love this quote because it lays out three good reasons. They need depth at defensive end. It can bring out the best in Jesse Luketa. And it can confuse opponents because when he's on the field and where he's lined up, he can line up anywhere. You know, he played outside linebacker last year. He's better suited for inside linebacker. Clearly, they believe his pass rush skill. He's a very relentless and aggressive player, and I see that translating. So all these things are very good reasons to line up Jesse Luketa different places. You could see him virtually anywhere, and opponents are going to have to account for him. And I think all these things are perfect explanations for why they're doing what they're doing with him.
That versatility seems to be a key word with this team this season. We'll be talking more about that. Stick around for quarter number two. We got a lot more to do. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to gopsurv.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.